You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
We're just going to share a little bit of my story today. But before I get too far into what I want to share with you this morning, I want to ask you guys to take a second. And from that video clip we just saw, I want you to think which of those characters is me. Because seriously, I'm up there. Get one in your heads. You all got an idea? Okay, if you answered Sheldon like Matt back there did, you are wrong. The correct answer is all of the above. I live this show. There's a reason my wife is like obsessed with it and watches it all the time, because I am all of those guys at one point or another. If I'm telling you guys the truth, I am a little bit of an odd duck. Now, this doesn't come as a surprise to any of you guys who've met me before. The people who worked with me, the people who work with me at Open Table, you all know I'm pretty strange. In fact, I'm fairly certain I went to a convention this summer with Sean, and he got to spend about 4 days with me solid. I can promise you he can tell you stories. I'm not normal. But you know, in reality, I cover about every different kind of nerd that there is. I mean, I do video games, I do card games, I do board games, I do comic books, I do movies, I do it all. Just about every kind of nerd you can touch on, I represent it in one way, shape, or form. But I'm also just like Sheldon up there. I'm very particular about like every little thing. To give you an example, and this is not one I'm super proud of, but like I have a way to dispense peanut butter. I kid you not, like it's a thing that I picked up. You're supposed to slice the peanut butter, make a little line down the middle, and then you dig out one side of the peanut butter jar. And you got to go all the way to the bottom, and then once you get to the bottom, you dig from the bottom back up, because you got to keep half of that peanut butter jar pristine, like from the factory, all the way until the very last scoop of peanut butter. Now, got this when I was a kid. It came out of Calvin and Hobbes, because it's a thing Calvin did. And I read it, and I was like, nope, that's the way you do it. And it stuck with me ever since. I'm a little bit strange. I even have a system. Like, when I start talking about my family and I tell you I'm an odd duck, like, I have a system for which duck is what number. Like, my wife, she's duck number 3. Kyrie over here, raise your hand, Kyrie, duck number 5. I got Cedric, my son, he's duck number 7. I'm duck number 1, but I'm not just duck number 1, like, because I'm number 1, like, I'm duck number 1 because I find that to be the oddest number. Like, I'm that guy when you go on YouTube and you see these weird, like, number math videos, I'm the guy who watches them. And so number 1 is both, like, a prime and not a prime, and it's kind of odd, but it's not really odd because, you know, it's 2, and so, like, I'm the guy who watches that, and number 1 is the strangest number, so that's me. It still surprises me, to be honest with you, that anybody lets me be a pastor of anything with all of these quirks, because seriously, this is me we're talking about. But in reality, God has really blessed what's been going on with Open Table. We've seen a lot of growth, a lot of new faces, and getting to see some of the faces that we've gotten to grow accustomed to coming again and again and growing. In the last couple of months, we launched a new location, so we're now meeting at 2 different off-site locations, as well as here at Shelter. We've gotten to see growth and life change in individuals, which is the part that I'm really excited about. And even this last month, we kind of opened up the opportunity for people to join us who might be interested in participating more and maybe even becoming part of a larger leadership team, because I can tell you, we've got some awesome people working there, but we need more help. And I want to tell you, if you want to see church differently than what traditional church is, come and visit us at Open Table. Or maybe come and see what's going on with the recovery ministry. Or really check out any of the expressions we've got going on here at Shelter. Because these are all different ways of doing church. There's something completely different, out of the box. Something where with Open Table especially, we have tried to strip down everything about church that isn't necessary and throw it out so that we can find a way to do church that has the essence of what church is, but to do it for people who just aren't accustomed to a traditional church environment. But that does leave me in an odd place, because how do I describe Open Table to people? You know, if I try to describe it to church folks, people who aren't part of Shelter, who don't have any idea about this expression thing, I get a little stuck. Like, is this a ministry? Is this an outreach? I mean, we like to call it, we like to say that it's its own church, but at the same time, like, it doesn't do any of the things that churches usually do. We don't sing songs. We don't take an offering. We don't have pews. We don't do any of that stuff that people consider normal church. But we're doing church. And then what do I do when I, like, need to describe what Open Table is to what I would call, you know, atheist gamers? Because there are a lot of people in the gaming community that just either have gone through the 80s and the satanic panic or lived in the backwash of that and just don't feel welcome in a church environment. How do I describe Open Table to those folks? Because for them, you know, they want to know, why would a church bother coming and doing this with us? Or, like, what's the catch? Like, when am I gonna come beat them over the head with, like, a 40-minute long sermon about how, like, they're going to hell and they need Jesus? And, you know, where's the bait and switch? Like, I talk to people, and a lot of the time I get the impression that they're looking for, like, for the timeshare seminar, and they're wanting to know, like, okay, I've got you here to play some games now. Here, I got something to sell you. Like, but the reality is, when it comes to it, I have the hardest time explaining this to my family and my coworkers, because they don't have the gaming side or the church side going on, and so it almost feels like a meme where I'm like, okay, this is what I think I do, and this is what they think I do, and this is what my family thinks I do, and you know, this is what we actually do. So when I was asked to share this morning, I kind of jumped on the opportunity, and I did it because I wanted to get up here and be able to speak to you before somebody came to their senses and realized that maybe they shouldn't have this guy up here. I mean, last time I did that terrible Superman video, and I can't forgive myself, but, you know, like, I needed to get up here before somebody changed their mind. But I also wanted to share with you not only how OTM's been doing, but how we got where we are. Open Table didn't happen by accident. God had to do some pretty amazing things with a rather strange group of people to make OTM what it was. And my story, personally, for how OTM began can be traced all the way back to my childhood. I have been a nerd as long as I have been a person. I was a nerd before being a nerd was cool. I grew up in the 80s, and it, you know, Big Bang Theory and these things that kind of normalized and made nerds cool again, yeah, none of that had happened when I was growing up. I lived in that. I mean, I can even tell you a story in the second grade. Like, I'm a little kid. And I had come to the realization that I didn't have any friends. And to me, this was, like, fine, normal, whatever. I got my cool planes and my army stuff, and I'm happy with that. But goodness, let me tell you, when you vocalize the idea that you don't have any friends to, like, a parent or a teacher, they flip out. Like, not a big deal to them. Not such a big deal to me, because I was happy in little nerd land doing my thing. I'll let you off the hook. I did eventually make some friends, I promise. Some people are weird like me. And so I did make a few friends, but high school didn't really make me feel any more included than I was in the second grade. Let me tell you, high school is a little bit rough when you're the strange, nerdy kid. I made some friends, but then it got even worse about my senior year of high school, because all the friends I had made were, like, a year older than me. So they all graduated and moved away, and there I am, like, all my friends are gone, and I'm back to being the only one of me. Huh, fun things there. It wasn't really until college that things started to change for me. I got to college, and it turns out that while I am, in fact, an odd duck, that sometimes weird folks can clump together. And I got to hang out with some really cool people, because all the weird people, who are all weird in their own different ways, kind of clumped up together there. And, you know, I got to make some real friends with other people who were almost as weird as I was. And we got to build connections and get close. And to compound things, like, I got my call to ministry, the idea that God put on my heart that I was going to be a pastor, when I was in middle school. But as the weird little nerdy kid, like, I had no idea what being a pastor would look like. I just had no real idea at all what being a pastor was. And all I had was kind of the 80s and 90s, like, stereotypical idea of what a pastor was going to be. I knew this is what I was called to, but not really how that was going to work out. And so my years in college finally kind of started to teach me some things about what being a pastor was going to become. I had a really great mentor at the time who talked to me about this idea of the priesthood of all believers. It's a very churchy term, I realize that. But it's this idea that when you have a church, that the minister is not the guy up here talking. The ministers are the people in the church, or the whole body, and that everybody is supposed to be a minister. It isn't just the guy up here is preaching, it's everybody. And that a pastor isn't special because he's a minister. He's special because he's the guy who gets to minister to other ministers, who can help empower and equip the people who are going to be able to reach their friends and the people that their lives touch. That being a pastor isn't about being the minister, it's about being somebody who gets to help other people to be ministers. But I also learned some less good stuff about being a pastor. I learned a lot of the things about what a pastor was supposed to look like. This idea that there was like a full-time ministry guy who's like, this is his job, and so he's clearly better than all these youth pastor people in the other ministry track. You know, this idea that I kid you not, I was talking before first service, there's a reason I use the music stand instead of the table like everybody else, and I still have like paper notes. It's because I was taught, and it's a bad habit, I know, I was taught in an era where you always had a pulpit. And it's a stretch for me, like, as I've gotten older, to not be up here in a suit, because that's just the way you did things. And that's how I was taught to do things. Like, I couldn't have imagined in college going and sharing a message and not wearing a suit. Like, it was not even on the table. But outside of the good and the bad things, I also, in college, got to kind of get comfortable with who I was because of my friends, because of the people I got to connect with who were all believers in Christ. I got to get real comfortable with who God made me to be. Like, I was an odd duck, but that was okay because that's how God built me. And that's who I was supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to like just warp into something different. God built me to be who I was. So I graduated and I did the typical like you get out of college thing and went into like the what do I do with my life phase. I had gotten engaged right before I graduated, and so I moved to Michigan to be close to my wife's family so we could kind of plan to get married. And I'm real envious of anybody who graduated college and got to walk in straight into a job somewhere, because that did not happen for me. I graduated college, and not only had I finished with a ministry degree, and I'm like, I'm going to go be a pastor somewhere. Yeah, that full-time pastor job did not happen. But worse than that, like, no job happened. I couldn't get a job at the local Pizza Hut. Like, I tried, trust me. And so I went through that real nasty funk right after college of, like, where do I go and what do I do? And thankfully, because of some friends, I moved down to the Dayton area and was able to get a job that paid the bills, at least, and kind of get tied in with a local youth group so I could start doing some ministry, something, you know, to live out that calling that God had put on my life. And eventually, I got a little bit of a better job, and I started working at another local church as a college and career pastor, you know, something for people from like 18 to like 20-something, people that get left behind a lot by the church. And that was kind of the ministry that I did. And meanwhile, I'm working like this third shift job that just kicked my butt. And don't get me wrong, I've worked for a great place, but like third shift just beat me up. It was okay for a couple of years and then just ran me into the ground. And so there was kind of this just rough phase of my life for a number of years there where I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I was kind of doing ministry, but I didn't know what I was living, you know, that I was living out really what I was supposed to be. But all this time during this rough phase, I was still the same nerd and the same odd duck that I always had been. You know, that didn't really change. You don't outgrow it. I mean, people tell you that, not really true. And so, like, my college and career group that I was running, we played board games, and we, you know, we bust out card games, and we played with each other, and it was a way that I learned to build community around that table with the folks that I was trying to be a pastor for. And it's around this time that, like, I started a new birthday tradition. I mean, some people, you ask them, like, hey, when's your birthday? Like, I don't want to tell you. You know, you ask them, like, what do you do for your birthday? How old are you going to be? Nope, not even talking about that. I get those people. You also have some people who are like, okay, it's my birthday. I'm going to go out for a nice dinner or do something cool. Some people love to have a big old bash, like a party. It's great fun. That's what they want to do for their birthday. Me, I get together my strangest friends from across several states, and we play like a 12-hour board game. That tradition started in this time, and it's been going for like 10, 15 years. I play a board game on my birthday every single year. And I started frequenting like local game shops. And let me tell you, there are a ton of them in the Dayton area. There are game shops everywhere. You cannot hardly throw a stone and have it not land on a street that a game shop is on. But I started getting to meet people and getting closer and connecting with people who were into the same stuff that I was. And it's about this time, too, that I started going to Grand Prix. And if you're thinking racing, that's not what I'm talking about. A Grand Prix is a big event for the card game Magic. And it's one that I play, and I like to play it competitively. And a Grand Prix is like the biggest event you can go to and have it be like you can just walk in and play. These are massive tournaments. When I say massive, I mean your average Grand Prix for just the main event has between maybe 4,000 and 6,000 people showing up to come and play at this tournament. And that's the main event. They've got hundreds upon hundreds of side events going through the whole thing. They've got vendors. They've got people showing up in costumes. They've got people trying to sell you stuff. And they've got people bringing in huge collections to buy stuff. There are cards on sale that go for tens of thousands of dollars at these Grand Prix, and people buy them. It's a big deal. And so I got to go to these things because I like playing at this big competitive event. And I started between the big events and the local game shops realizing that in this community that I was a part of, that I enjoyed, that I liked spending time in, there were a lot of hurting people. And because of that adversity to church, like a lot of these people who were hurting and struggling had no idea that there was a God out there that loved them and cared about them and had no way to make a connection with him. So in the middle of all of this, I got dragged to a DCPI class. And by a DCPI, that's Dynamic Church Planting International. And you don't have to remember the acronym, it's okay. It's a church planting class. And I literally got dragged to this thing. My buddy Pastor Brian, whom I had known for many years at this point, was like, "No, dude, seriously, you need to come to this thing." I'm like, "Are you sure? I don't want to arrange my work schedule." "No, you need to come." Hounded me about this thing. And because pastors, as pastors, we have to go through kind of a continuing education thing, I needed some extra credits. Like I needed some of those hours of education, get them checked off my list, make sure I had everything lined up for the year. So I'm like, you know what? I got to take a class anyway. Brian is hounding me about this and won't let it go. Seriously, like called me the night before to make sure I was still coming. Like, might as well go do this thing. Get it out of the way, check it off the list, get my education done. It's a great thing that pastors have to go and keep. You never want to stop learning. But at the same time, I wanted to get it checked off the list. And so I go to this class, and it's a church planning class. I've been to one before, and they give you an assignment, and they tell you about it the first class, but they kind of expect you to work on it like as the classes go on, and it's 6 weeks long, that they want you to design a church plant. Like, they want you to put together a plan to plant a church. And at the time, I'm like, you know what? I can do this thing. Let's just check it all off the list. But it's really amazing to me how God can sometimes break in to the regular, the ordinary, the mundane, and the routine. I mean, I was going to this class, getting my hours, checking it off because somebody bugged me enough to get me to go. And God really started to speak in it. He's like, "Man, I want you to take this seriously. Like, don't just make a hypothetical thing here. Do this." And God started to really put a calling on my heart that this wasn't just like a church plant I was designing for a class. This was going to be something. And I'm thinking, like, I'm crazy. This is nuts. Like, not going to happen. And I started getting a hold of some old people, some old friends that I knew. I had a mentor, a pastor I'd had back when I was a kid who had planted a church and he launched his own church and had been successful for a number of years. And I called him up to kind of get some advice and be like, "No, seriously, I'm nuts, right?" And I called up an old friend of mine, one of my best, closest friends from college, Rich. And I still remember the conversation with Rich because I'm like, "Dude, I think this is really happening, man. This is crazy, right?" And Rich looks at me, he's like, "Dude, it's about time you figured it out." I'm like, "What?" He's like, I always knew, like, this is what you were supposed to do. Like, how did it take you this long?" I'm like, "Okay." He really wondered why it took me so long to get started on this. He had known me for years, probably as close as anybody I knew in college. It took me a long time in life to figure out that God wasn't calling me to be a pastor. He had called me to a life that only I could lead. He had a plan and a ministry custom fit to how he made me and the gifts that he gave me. And the years that I spent floundering and struggling weren't wasted years, but time spent pointing out to me the kind of people that I had the heart to reach. I want to share something with you out of Romans. It's Romans chapter 12. We're going to start off in verse 4. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I've heard this passage a number of times, and I hear it often broken down in the idea that, like, each of these is a category of spiritual gifts that people can have. You know, there's prophecy, there's teaching, there's encouragement, there's giving, there's leadership, there's compassion. Like, each of these is a category, and you should maybe, like, take a quiz and figure out which of these you fit into so that you can, like, get a, you know, take an assessment. Oh, okay, you fit into, like, giving, so you should totally give all the time. Or, hey, you fit into teaching, so we've got a Sunday school class for you. Like, you should take this thing and, like, fit into a category. But when I read this passage myself, I get stuck on the word each. You know, coming back to verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. You see, I'm more convinced, and as I grow closer to Christ, that this writer wasn't trying to create a list of categories for people to fit into. Like, hey, here's a list of the different spiritual gifts. You're clearly a giver. You're clearly a teacher. You're clearly, you know, you're great at compassion. Like, this wasn't a list meant to be exhaustive. It was just the first thing that came to this guy's mind. That we each, I'm more and more convinced that we each have different gifts according to who we are. That just as God poured his grace into our lives in a special and unique way, that our gifts and our talents point us towards what God wants us to do in a special and unique way. We've been given personalities and passions and gifts that all cater to what God wants us to be. And even when we don't think we have what it takes, that's where God steps in, pours his grace and power into us, and makes us into what we can be, the fullest potential of who he built us to be in the first place. I don't think I've seen that anywhere as clearly as I see it here at Shelter Church. See, I've been a part of churches where everything, and I mean everything, goes through the senior pastor, where it's all about how you can figure out how to get people into a Sunday morning service so the pastor can minister to them. You know, that maybe he can give that 3-point sermon and convince somebody that they need Jesus and they can come to, that everything goes through that. Where a small handful of people did all the ministry so that everybody else could kind of come in and be fed and be served. I've seen those churches and I've been a part of them. But here it's different. Here, ministries are led by the people who have a heart and a calling to lead them. Here, they actively seek ways to empower the calling of God on people's lives. You see, Open Table Ministries was not born here at Shelter because Pastor Ryan thought it was the hottest new ministry idea. It was not even born here because I thought it was a good idea. Open Table Ministries was born here because a bunch of people, many of whom are now in OTM's leadership, got together over some board games and said yes to what God was doing. Few things excite me, like getting to see those people in action, like watching the Open Table leadership go out there and relate to people in a way that I can't, connect with people and build relationships and draw those people closer to knowing God, to getting to see them live out their calling in the unique and special ways that each of them can. You see, God built each of us in a particular way, and he wants to give us the gifts and the grace we need to live out that calling. God called me to start an expression of church for gamers, some of whom are almost as weird as I am. And he did it by grabbing a hold of a bunch of people who were weird each in their own unique and special ways and helping them to express the gospel in a fresh and unique way to a community that hadn't heard it. If he can do that with this odd duck, I promise he can do it with you. I'm going to share with you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I don't know what God's calling you to this morning. I don't know what group of people he's built you to relate to. I don't know what ministry he's given you a heart for. But whatever it is, say yes. If he's calling you to start a new expression of church to a unique group of people, pursue it. If he's calling you to serve, connect with Pastor Brian and help maybe with the outreach team, or connect with Don and help with Recovery Jam, or maybe even connect with Sean and see if you can help with DSM. There are plenty of opportunities where this church seeks to serve the community that we get to touch on. If you want to just know, maybe he's calling you to something completely new, something I can't even dream of, seek after that, pray on that, grab hold of help. If he's calling you to prayer, and pray, because seriously, there are some groups around here that are fantastic for teaching you about prayer and helping you to seek after that, because if anything, all of these ministries, all of these expressions, we need prayer. You know, we've actually, it was brought to my attention, we've got an orientation coming up very soon here that can help, and if you're interested in this, talk to Ashton, because this orientation might be a place for you to seek out a way to learn what gifts are and where God is calling you. The reality is that the church, the body of Christ, us, was not meant to look, act, or minister the same. We were meant to live out the gospel as God made each of us unique and special. At Shelter, as long as I've known it, has been a place that empowers that in people, that wants to help you along with to live out those callings. It isn't a place where you just show up and receive, but a place where we're excited to help you become what God wants you to be. Where ministries are led by individuals who said yes to God's calling, and where we are hopefully get to have the privilege of standing alongside you and helping you live that out. I want to pray with you guys this morning. Lord, help us each to see ourselves not as fitting into a category, not as just a piece in a whole, but as unique, special, and amazing people made by God, not to just fit an archetype, but to be exactly who you made us to be. Help us each to hear your calling on our lives. Help us to seek after the things you want us to do, to seek into the unexpected, because there's a place in your ministry, in your life, in your love, and in your kingdom for each one of your children. Help everyone here to see exactly where you want them to be, to live out those callings. If there's someone here this morning who's struggling, who's maybe in that part of their life where they don't know, what am I supposed to do? God, grab a hold of them. Pour into them and help them to see exactly where you want them to be. Help them to see the place of ministry, the place of service, the chance to reach into lives and communities, exactly what you made them to be. Lord, we can ask nothing greater than the privilege of getting to walk hand in hand with you every day. So I ask that now for every person here. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.